when a plan comes together.
Dear Uncle Sam,
my name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple. But this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience. Do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. February 27th. 1 day left in this month already. And we've still got a lot of snow around here. My goodness. It's melting fast, though. We've had such nice weather the last couple of days. It's just amazing. It's been so nice outside. And the snow is melting fast. And you can tell every place you go, water's rising, water's running, muddy as hell every place you go. So it's, but it's good. It's putting a lot of water in the ground, and we sure need it. Just got a couple of stories for you tonight, and then we're going to go over some other stuff that I've been threatening to go over for quite a while and haven't done it. So I'm going to see if we can get that knocked out tonight. Let me get over here to my official news story bin here. Just a couple of little things. One of them is a lot of you remember the gal that attacked the man wearing the Make America Great Again hat. He was in a Mexican restaurant, and she attacked him and made a big deal out of it and everything. Well, she shouldn't have, because she's being deported. They've discovered, this was just yesterday, and they've found, I don't know, through a YouTube video or whatever, but she's in ICE custody right now, and she'll be going home, and that's a very good thing. I love stories with happy endings, and this is one of them here. A woman shoots and kills an intruder, and the 911 operators say, yeah, go ahead, you know, you've done everything you can do. You've exercised your avenues of retreat. We understand the situation. And so on New Year's Eve, this guy, his second time he came back armed with a 12-inch hunting knife, and realized real soon that a 12-inch hunting knife just doesn't cut it against a 12-gauge. So she got her 12-gauge and went to her bedroom and got a pistol and put a bottle in the baby's mouth and called 911. She said, I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in this door? 911 dispatcher confirmed it. Yep, it's just fine. And he says, I can't tell you that you can do that, but you do what you have to do to protect your baby. The woman was on the phone with 911 for 21 minutes. When the first guy kicked in the door and came after her with the knife, this gal was a teenager, too. How old was she? Let me see. She's, where is it? It just says a young mother. Didn't say how old she is. But down here a little farther, it says the teen mom shot and killed the 24-year-old. The police said you're allowed to shoot an unauthorized person that's in your home. The law provides you with the remedy and sanctions the use of deadly force. The second home invader turned himself in to police just a little while after that. Said, I wouldn't have done it, but it was my son. It's not an easy decision to make, but it was going to be him or my son. And it wasn't going to be my son. There's nothing more dangerous than a woman with a child. So she did everything great. The only thing I would have to say, if I really was pressed into putting a critical comment in here, would be that she stayed on the phone with 911 too long. She could have been distracted. She could have said something that would have been detrimental to her case. Once she's called and let them know what's going on, you know, I tell people in my classes, just hang up. It's not against the law to hang up on 911. And you could do some damage if it had distracted her and she's not able to, you know, if the operator would have been asking questions about the time the guy kicked the door down, she may have been distracted enough not to have done well. But that's not the case. She did well. So I bravo for her. So lots of other news, lots of stuff going on everywhere, but, you know, we're just going to have to let that pass because as I've told you here the last week or so, I'm trying to get away from doing quite so much news and politics and get into things a little bit more useful, a little bit of training and a little bit of, stuff that can help you out around your, I think that it's critical that we start thinking about getting prepared. And there's a lot of things that goes into that. It's not just food and bullets, band-aids, and beans, as they say, or bullets, beans, and band-aids, whatever it is. It's, we've talked at great length about communications and all this stuff, a lot of medical stuff. But, and medical is kind of what we're going to go into tonight a little bit. There's so many facets of this, everything from, you know, from wound closure to, cleaning wounds, just a million different things, IVs. You know, if you should have a few IV catheters and some saline if you can get it. It's kind of hard to get right now, but, and you should learn how to administer this IV. This is critical. Now, we've talked about expedient IV stuff, and we'll go through that again. I'm not going to do it tonight. I may. We'll see how long this takes. I've got a lot of stuff to do here in this other thing, if I can find it. I bet if I click this button right here, I'll bet you, well, first I have to find my button. But isn't there a game like that? Button, who's got the button? I got to find out who's, there it is. There's my button. And is my, well, that's just dandy. All right, I'm going to have to go out of a different direction here. That didn't work as I had planned it. So let's see here. Let me try this one more time. Sorry about the delay. This was not the way it was supposed to have been. It's never supposed to be this way. But, all right. I can do this another way because I have a tremendous amount of assets at my disposal here. So let's do it this way. I'll bet you that'll do it. Let's go over here and check this other deal here, and by golly, there it is. I did good. So, we've got a thing put together here. You know, our group trains in a lot of different stuff. We've got, we train in everything from, canning vegetables to land navigation to, firearms, to constitution, whatever. Lots of different things. This time of year, we're kind of spend a little bit more time indoors doing other stuff, so we'll be hitting it hard and heavy here pretty quick. And then the outdoor stuff. One of the biggest problems that we have with larger wounds, even small wounds, is disinfecting it properly. The wound itself usually is not really your biggest concern. The concern is getting it clean. Of course, blood loss is your first and major concern. But regardless of how it heals or when it heals, it needs to be clean. And there's quite a number of different ways to do that. And some work better than others, but you know, you have to do what you have to do with what you have available. Sometimes you don't have, you're not sitting in the emergency room and have all the wonderful technology that we have these days to take care of these kind of things. Excuse me. So, first and foremost, everybody knows what a proponent I am of colloidal silver. I have used it for 20 years now. I have disinfected some very grievous wounds with it. We have elected to use that and not gone to the hospital at all. I've killed MRSA with it. I've killed various kinds of staph. I've done all kinds of things with colloidal silver. And I would take colloidal silver over any, I mean any, store-bought antibiotic. I'll put it up against anything you bring me, absolutely anything. I have no use, well, I would say I have no use for it. I don't want to sound ugly, but I've got a few powdered antibiotics in the freezer, but I have those more for bartering means than anything else, because me and mine will use colloidal silver 100% of the time. I've done too much with it to doubt it in any manner. So with that out of the way, we can spend some more time on that. We've talked about colloidal silver so many times, and I'll tell you, one of my listeners right now has some medical problems going on, and I said, are you taking your silver? And this person said, well, it kind of intimidates me, you know, to make this. It's as easy as making iced tea. The only fear or intimidation that one should have over this, and it's logical and it's healthy, is to wonder. You know, it's out of the mainstream stuff. You know, it's just not what people are used to, and it scares people. Because the doctor didn't prescribe it. Matter of fact, the doctor would probably tell you to stay away from it. That's because the doctor doesn't make money off of curing things. He makes money off of fixing symptoms, even if he creates more symptoms. That's just how it works. So anyway, the critical part after you get the bleeding stopped, of course, is to get the wound clean. And that's kind of a hard part for a couple of reasons. Number one, you got a lot of small things. You know, it can be dirt, you know, fragments of stuff, glass that's hard to see, metal fragments. So that part of it's hard. The other part of it is if you don't have anesthetic of some kind, it hurts. You can't just rinse this stuff out. It's nice to have some type of pressure liquid of some kind, saline, you know, it works well. And we talked about that with the saline that you can buy at Walmart that you get for your eyes. It's sterile, and it comes in 8 and 12-ounce bottles, and it's marvelous for cleaning out small and medium-sized wounds. Large wounds, too, if you got enough of it. And a very soft bristled toothbrush works pretty good, like a child's infant's toothbrush. And but it still hurts. It hurts a lot to get it cleaned out. But the thing is, no matter what you've had to do to stop the bleeding, we'll worry about infection and getting it cleaned out and all that when we get back to the rear. But you've got to get the bleeding stopped, whatever manner, whatever it takes. So, we talked about that too many times. I'm not even going to go there. But if you don't have anything else, water is better than clean water, hopefully, that you would use to, if it's not clean enough to drink, it may not be as clean as you'd like for it to be to clean the wound out. And just because you can drink it certainly doesn't mean that it's sterile. You want to, if you have the opportunity, you'd want to boil the water first, or use distilled water, or use, you know, sterilized saline or whatever you can get. But just using water that you find, you know, in the lake by the side of the road or something is not a good idea. You could make things even worse. So it's nice to have options. With water, of course, if you have no other means, you want to filter it, of course, to get the debris and stuff out of it. Sterilize it in some manner if you can. There again, my choice of sterilization for water is colloidal silver. But you can boil it, you can use bleach, you wouldn't hurt even to use both if you have it available. If you're going to boil it, it needs to be kept at a rolling boil for at least a minute. And, you know, they say that if it could be, you know, some say 3 minutes if you're above 1,000 feet. Some people say add 1 minute to each 1,000 feet or whatever. That's unnecessary. If that water is over 160 degrees for a little bit, it's going to kill everything in there. It's obviously, it boils at a much lower temperature at higher elevations. So, yeah, you'd want to add a little time to it, but it's not as scientific as people make it out to be. Let the water cool naturally and use it, you know, or put it in a sterile bottle if you have it, and get it washed out again with a soft brush or something. There's a faction of people out there that still say that you could, and doctors used to use gunpowder to pour it in a wound to set it on fire. This is not a great idea. Will it work? You know, probably. It will destroy bacteria and stuff in there. It'll stop the bleeding. But it, with the burns that it causes and everything else, unless it's a absolute last ditch effect, I wouldn't do it. It'll cause a lot of scarring and a lot of pain. But it makes great YouTube videos. So if that's what you've got, well, that works. A few different types of antiseptics that you can use are sugar. A lot of people haven't heard of that, but sugar's been used for many, 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 many years. And it helps lower the pH of a wound. And when you lower the pH, then it inhibits the bacterial growth. It acts as an anti-inflammatory. It pulls the little bacteria eaters you have in your body, I forget what you call them. Anyway, it pulls them to the surface and helps promote growth of new tissue, which colloidal silver also does that also. And I've also, nothing like being redundant. You can say that again. But anyway, carry a little sugar packet. It works good. Works well. I'll be corrected on that. Povidone iodine, also the brand name for that is betadine. That's what you get when you, it's what stains your skin so bad when you're prepping you for surgery and stuff is betadine or something related to it. It could sting a little bit, but it's not as bad as some of you might remember the old methylate, mercurochrome, stuff like that. Yeah, that stuff wasn't any fun. But it works great. It does have a shelf life on it, so check that before you use it. It's antibiotic, it's antiviral, it's antiseptic, kills pretty much on contact, and it's a great thing to put in your storage stuff. Sugardine, whatever you want to call it, sugardine. If you've been around farm animals at all, you've probably heard of it. It's a mixture of one part of povidone iodine and three parts of sugar. So you get into kind of the best of both worlds. Kind of make a paste out of it, put it on a wound, and it's a very, very effective antiseptic and promotes healing. It's good stuff. Remembering also that you don't want to make a whole lot of this and put it and store it like that because, number one, you're exposing all this to the air. You're getting the iodine has a shelf life. I mean, it's just, you're just going to make a mess out of it. So just make it as you need it, you know, a day or two ahead of time maybe. But regular alcohol, isopropyl alcohol, it it's not the greatest thing in the world. It's a decent antiseptic. It kills bacteria and things. It's not going to kill bacterial spores. What that means is it's not necessarily effective. It still works well on skin and as a skin and kind of a harder surface antibiotic, but it's not necessarily the best thing for deep wounds and whatnot. And if you're going to use it, it needs to be at a concentration of 60 to 90%. Now, here's one, an old wives' tale right here, kind of. It, you know, I think what I'll do is I'll share this with you right after the break.
I'll be back.
Prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, and whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted, We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
All I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I've done. Who's the day I forgot about the way it used to be? They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
And we are back. Let me, I didn't ever go to the chat room. I didn't see who all is here. I don't even know if y'all are getting sound. I better go look and see. Yeah, there's Lancer in there and NM Glock. Who else we got? Let me see. Let me click this little button here. AZ Bound is with us, brother. Glad to see you. And Doc and Lancer, Mountain Shooter, and Nan and NM Glock and WMD Doc and Yakima Glock. We got a whole gaggle of anonymous there. Glad to see all you guys in here. All right. Let's continue to march. Thank you, NM Glock. I didn't even come look. I ignored you guys completely. So let's get back up here and get back to what we were talking about. You know, every old Western that you see, they get shot and they pour it full of whiskey. This is not a good idea. You can get tremendous infection from whiskey, and it's not. Unless you're close to some better care very soon, I would not use whiskey in a wound. Now, vodka is a different story. Any of your White Lightning, what's the word? Everclear, something. Any of your clear liquors are fine. and they work well. But if it's brown, don't use it. It could create more infection than what you've already got. Let me see here. Mouthwash. Mouthwash is a decent antiseptic. It's got, you know, if you have something like that in a cabinet, or most people don't carry that camping or anything with them, but, you know, if you've got an emergency at home and you need to use something, it's got a pretty high concentration of alcohol and other stuff in it. So the chlorhexidine that's in mouthwash, unlike alcohol, does kill the spores that we talked about a while ago, and is both germicidal and a disinfectant. So it's a pretty good combination there. And honey have been used for, you know, centuries as an antiseptic. And do any amount of research, spend all the time you want, anything you find will back that up. Honey is antibacterial, it's antifungal, antiviral. It is a remarkable substance, and it will it'll do a good job for you. Make sure, of course, like all of them, make sure your wound is clean, and you want to cover this up very well for a couple of reasons. You're a dust and debris magnet, you know, when you put that, if that sugar's not covered up well, and also insects and flies and stuff. So if you're going to use honey in there, pack it full. Don't be generous with it. Don't worry about getting too much in there. But cover it up well, because it could cause you some minor problems. Yeah, that could probably turn into more major problems. But honey is one of those things that you can, grow yourself. Get you a little beehive out there and a couple of them and raise your own, not only for antiseptic purposes, but to eat. Hydrogen peroxide, not such a great idea. Everybody has it in their medicine cabinets, and it's got its purposes. It does good for some things, but a lot of people have taught that growing up, the peroxide wasn't any good as an antibacterial. That's not true, but it's helpful in bubbling up and getting the debris out of the debris out of the wound. But that was a long time ago, and it, you know, if that's all you have, maybe it's okay for some things, but it doesn't retard growth and it doesn't kill bacteria either. So it's good to keep on hand to bubble out some of the dirt and debris and stuff, but you will need to follow it up with something better, a good antiseptic of some kind. Go back to the, you know, colloidal silver or honey or whatever the case, betadine. And you know, another thing, and this is going to be very unappealing to some of you, and it doesn't sound very good, but urinating in a wound is most acceptable. Urine is sterile, as I've said before. More specifically, it's sterile to you. If someone has a urinary tract disease or something, you know, it could cause you some problems, but still it would be better than nothing. You know, the people in, where is it, India, Vietnam, wherever it is, they have cobras and stuff. One of the things that they do when the cobra, you know, they get that venom in their eyes, is they get them down on their lower elevation there, where they can pee right in their eyes. And it will clean a wound out. And if that's all you've got, then by all means, use it, because it will work. But back to, Lancer said, you drink enough brown whiskey, and it's that. I said, that's true. Yeah, there's nothing, that would work, as long as you got plenty out there. Of course, for those non-drinkers, you know, I used to drink a lot of that and not have any problems. But nowadays, I could probably pop the cork and wave it under my nose and probably wouldn't be able to walk straight after that. But I don't know if it'd be quite that bad or not. But anyway, as far as long-term stuff and being able to replenish some of this, there's not a real good way to replenish most of it. Yes, you can make alcohol if you've got the grain, you've got all the stuff to do it with. Honey can be replenished. You may find it, you know, in the woods in a natural state. You may find it in a, you know, someone else's beehives or something. But colloidal silver, it is so easy to make, even after the poop hits the fan. There's going to be some source for pure silver around for many, many years to come. It may be, you know, pre-64 coins. It may be jewelry, as long as you can verify that it's pure silver and not sterling silver or something like that. So there's a lot of ways that you can continue to make colloidal silver after the poop hits the fan. And I don't know what the storage life is on it. Theoretically, it should be forever, but it will eventually, I guess, settle out. The silver settle out of the water. However, I haven't really noticed that happening too much, except if you put it in the wrong type of container. If you put it in a soft plastic like a milk jug, it doesn't take long to separate the silver from the water. You keep it in a hydrogen peroxide bottle or a Clorox bottle or something, or a glass bottle preferably, and keep it away from magnetic fields and out of the light and all that, especially out of the sunlight. And it lasts a long time. I've stored it. I've had it in backpacks and stuff for, 4 or 5 years and not ever used it. And then pulled it out for whatever reason because I needed to, and it was fine. You can tell it's fine not just by looking at it. Looking at it may actually not give you an indication of how, what kind of shape it's in, but you can taste it. You know, if you taste it and it tastes kind of like, as I've always said, sucking on a dime. You got a little bit of silver taste to it. It's working. It works fine. And I can't. Hang on a minute, my table's falling down here. There we go. As often as you guys have heard me talk about this, I can't stress enough how powerful and how effective this stuff is, how cheap and easy it is to make. And, you know, regenerating tissue and purifying water. It takes 6 minutes to purify water. It, what else? I'm trying to think of some of the other things. Other than purifying wounds and stuff, athlete's foot, a couple of applicated, it burns. Boy, damn, I'll tell you what, it will light you up for about 5 seconds. It doesn't take long and the pain goes away. But a couple of times on athlete's foot and it's gone. Dandruff. Cat bite, and that would fall under the infection. But our middle oldest daughter worked at a veterinary clinic here, three years ago or something like that. Excuse me, dang it. And I think I may have told you about this, but it was a long time ago. And she's an animal lover, and they opened this box and was going to get this cat out, and the cat jumped out and attacked her and bit her, I think on the thumb or on the web between her thumb and forefinger. I don't remember exactly. And it naturally, it got horribly infected mucho fast. And so she went down to the, the emergency care clinic thing, urgent care, yeah. And they told her, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you need shots and, and this kind of stuff. And she said, no, I just need to verify that I've been to the doctor, and that's all I care about. And the doctor says, well, okay, yeah, when you come back here to me with, what do you say, tetanus? Lockjaw. Oh, yeah, tetanus, lockjaw. You know, you'll be back, and you'll be back here with tetanus, with lockjaw before long. Well, she never did go back. We treated it with silver and injected it into the wound. Now, I want to tell you something, and I've told you before. If you're going to inject this, you need to have, you need to be biting a bullet when you do this, because it burns when you inject it. Again, only for a few seconds. For the length of time that you're squirting it in, it burns, so, which makes it difficult to shoot in there, because while you're pushing the plunger on the syringe, it's like shooting battery acid in your veins. It burns a lot. But as soon as you stop, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds, it's all gone. So if you can stand it long enough to inject it in there, it works. I've used it on I can't even imagine how many things. I've used it on warts, on planter's warts. I had my oldest daughter had terrible warts on her hand one time, and wouldn't, I got the feeling so sorry for her. She'd clench her hands every more time she went anywhere. And I said, honey, we need to, you know, this is what we need to do. And no, she scared me. She had them burned off, and she had them frozen off, and these all kinds of crap you buy at the store, and it just wouldn't do it. I said, look, you know, this it's going to hurt a little bit, but it'll go away, and it'll be done. She finally let me do it and cried the whole time, but we injected each wart individually. And if you're careful and kind of keep it in the wart itself and don't get it blow into the tissue below it, it's not too bad. But we did that twice, and they all went away and never came back. And you all know that I can sit here and talk for, you know, 3 or 4 hours about all the stuff that I've done with colloidal silver. But I'll spare you doing that again. So there you have it. There's a few different ways to disinfect wounds. Now, there's a... we talked about the expedient way to do this, getting, now, the, back to, what am I trying to say, the saline stuff that you get at Walmart for your eyes, it's sterile, it will not disinfect a wound, it will help clean a wound. You can use the pressure and squeeze the bottle, and you've got good pressure to clean a wound out, it will not disinfect it. But it cleans it well. Well, you're still, it's kind of like the hydrogen peroxide thing. After you get done, you're going to need to put something else in it. But you can also use that as an IV solution. It is completely safe. If someone is, hey, AZ Bound just jumped in there and said that colloidal silver stopped planter's warts on his daughter's foot. I had planter's wart. I went to the doctor with it. It felt, I didn't know what it was. It felt like a bone spur or something. It was underneath the skin. Hurt like hell, when, especially if I was barefooted walking on a hard floor. I said, what is that? And I went to the doctor, and he confirmed that it was a planter's wart. And he says, okay, we need to do this, that, and the other. And I said, nope, that's all I need. Thanks. I just want to know what it was. And if there's a good side to my oldest daughter having diabetes, it's the fact that I had endless supply of these little very fine needle syringes or insulin syringes. And that's when I learned that how bad silver burns when you inject it. No, it's not either. I had a bad wound before that. That wasn't. But anyway, when I was shooting this into this port, I had to be very careful because it was wrapped around. It was right on the plantar, or whatever we call it, tendon there. And I'd shoot it in. As long as I was right on that wart, it wasn't too bad. But, buddy, I want you to know, I got a little bit deep one time, got right in that tendon to hit that plunger, and, son, I went right through the ceiling, right beside the light in the ceiling fan and next to the wall. There's a hole about 18 inches around and goes right up into the top floor. If you've ever seen a 250-pound man go through the roof, it's easy to do. Just shoot colloidal silver into your into that tendon in your foot, and you'll make it happen. But I did that about six times. I didn't like it any of the six times, but it went away. It went away. It's never come back, and you know, it works really well. So now I forgot what I was saying. Thanks, AZ Bound. He got me off on a tangent there, and I forgot what I was saying. Oh, I was going to say, tell you about the using this saline solution as an emergency IV thing. If you get somebody that's a little dehydrated, it's not going to help for somebody that's you know, lost a whole lot of blood. Yeah, it'd be certainly better than nothing. 12 ounces would help a little, but you'd have to use several bottles of it to make much of a dent in it. But for someone that's a little dehydrated and you want to get them back on their feet quickly, this would work fine. If they've lost a little blood and you just want to, you know, it kind of depends on the amount of blood they've lost and whatnot. But there is, I don't have the list of the stuff with me, but I've got a complete list of the little, there's a stopper that will go in to fit that top of that bottle perfectly. It's a stopper that's used for, you can buy them at places that sell brewing, you know, beer brewing supplies. And it will, it's that and a, I forgot what the other, anyway, I've got that whole thing and I've posted it, you know, on Facebook and stuff a time or two. If anybody's interested, I can sure get it for you. And I just don't have it in front of me right now. Tebow's talking about drinking ice water with colloidal silver right this very moment, and lime and stevia. Amy had never heard of stevia, and we got some. I had some on a package of sample stuff that one of my distributors sent to me, and there was several packages of stevia in there. She's become quite a fan of that stuff, so we went and bought a box of it and keep it in here. So. To add to tea and whatnot. Okay, well, I've just about outlived my usefulness here tonight. Told you all the stuff that I can find here. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a song on here, just because I want to. And then right after that song, it's just going to automatically go into a close, and poof, I'll be gone. So, for those of you that are new, come back and join us Friday night. Every Friday night, we have what we call Liberty Lounge. It's a typically classic country music and oldies. Sometimes we'll do some, we did a Cajun night one night, and we did a Southern rock, and we've done several classic rock nights and stuff, but typically, Liberty Lounge is classic country. 2 hours long, starting Friday night at 9. No, it's still 8 Pacific. It's 9 here in Arizona. Remember, we're going to have to change when everybody else changes time in April. We'll have to change the time of the show so we can keep up with all the states that weren't smart enough to defeat daylight savings time. So. All right, well, I'm babbling, so I'm going to get out of here, and we'll see you guys Friday night, and I appreciate you joining.
It's lonely out tonight, and the feeling just got right for a brand new love song. Somebody done somebody wrong song. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song, and make me feel at home while I miss my baby, while I miss my baby. So play for me a sad melody, so sad
that it makes everybody cry. A real hurting song about a love that's gone wrong. 'Cause I don't wanna cry all alone. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make me feel at home while I miss my baby, while I miss my baby. Sad melody, so sad that it makes everybody cry. A real hurting song about a love that's gone wrong. 'Cause I don't want to cry all alone. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make me feel at home while I miss my baby, while I miss my baby. Won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make me feel at home while I miss my baby, while I miss my baby. Won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make me feel at home while I miss my baby.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye, says